In the book of St. John, chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Now, it would take a lot of time to go into a revelation concerning this as to what Jesus was saying. His sayings were always so great and so dimensional deep. The Bible said, great is the multitude of his words or his thoughts. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father, and how sayest thou, then show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Or to simplify that, as to a minister giving an explanation, he was saying, God, the Heavenly Father, is a spirit. He doesn't have a human body. The only human body he has is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible said Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily speaking. As to the body, that's the only body he has. And the only way he looks at the world is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Jesus said, fill of me, when he resurrected from the dead, and they said, it's a spirit. He said, fill of me, a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Differentiating between the Father and the Son. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, nor neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. And in that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Now, a lot is said here in the Scripture. And in every verse of the Bible, if we took our time and if we preached, it would take hours upon hours, verse by verse, to bring out some of the dimensional depths of the Bible. As to the things that the Lord Jesus done, if it was today, if we wrote books of the things that he did, the world itself, Paul said, could not contain the books. If you wrote the things that the Lord Jesus did, a writer said, the world could not contain the books. So that makes us to know that it wasn't just as to what he did here in this earth, as to what we saw, but it was so dimensionally deep and exceedingly great as to expansiveness that it went back beyond the curtain of time, beyond the curtain of time, and beyond the beginning. Sometimes I preach a message called Beyond the Beginning and Before the Beginning. And when we go back there before the beginning, and I clarify that a lot of times so that people don't get confused and that they say, Brother Pike, you must be eccentric. That's the way they think of me, talking about before the beginning. Before the beginning, I try to explain to the people that when it says in the beginning was God, it spoke of you. And your beginning, as Genesis was written by Moses, and that beginning, that has to do with Genesis, which means beginning. And the beginning is the beginning of the act of creation and the act of you as to creation. But it does not mean the beginning of God, for God hath no beginning, he hath no end. God was, he is from everlasting to everlasting. And before the world was, Jesus said, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. So, when you think of before the beginning, then you go back and you find God. Someone would say, well, can it be anything before the beginning? Well, if there isn't something before the beginning, where did the beginning come from? There has to be something to make the beginning. If you are going to begin something, there's got to be something in your life before you begin that. And that something is you. And if there is a beginning, then there had to be a God before the beginning. And this wonderful record of the thing beginning we speak of, it has to do with you and your historical stride, is to call his story down through the years. So before the beginning, we speak of this. And that means that when we think of all the things that Jesus did, in this little tiny concept of our would-be world or mind, kind of like a little old kitten having a mind, is comparatively speaking to a human being whose mind is so expansive when it's compared to that of the little animal. See, all it can do is live within the radius of its confined and of its world. When I look out and I see great men like Einstein, which to me truly was great and mighty figures in the world. As a matter of fact, you could hardly find any greater. And I see celebrities and I see dignitaries and I see brilliant men who devoted their life to study. And indeed, these men were so great and mighty, and their minds so excelled the average individual's mind, till that's why that is referred to as, the Lord refers to it as, we being babes unto them, because they were so great, and not many great ones are called because they're carried away in that sort of a thing. But folks, when we speak of the sonship, and when we speak of the sons of God, and we speak of who you already are, now, beloved, are you the sons of God. Though it doth not yet appear as to the change of the outer man, yet inside you're already the sons of God, and you're already sealed by the great Holy Spirit under the change as to the redemption of the body, which is called the purchased possession. And that which he purchased at Calvary. And the change will come as to the deliverance of what is referred to as the creature which is the body, being subjected to vanity by human senses, as to the bond's child, being relative to the beggarly elements of the world, even these things that emanated from God. And yet, when they emanated in a wonderful way as to the garden, and not as to the vanity of which they are today, as to that sinful veil through which we look as trying to see the real world. See, and much that could be said as to the great is the mystery of godliness. But anyway, we are made to realize that we are gods. As I said this morning, the witch of Endor saw gods coming up out of the earth when she was so terrified, when she realized that she run into reality. Gods? And we are gods. Jesus said, ye are gods. Ye shall die like men, because of the lack of knowledge of not knowing who you are or what you are. And someone would say, well, surely, Brother Pike, a God could not die. I think you'll agree with me that Jesus was God. Even if you believe in three gods and one God, you call them all gods. So you'll agree with me, both sides of it, as it would be, that Jesus was God. And yet he died like a man. And so then you can be a God and die like a man, because there is two sides of you. And we spoke about that today as concerning the rent veil, where the Bible said that the veil was rent in twain, as pertaining to Jesus and pertaining to Christ and pertaining to you. And so then it is a great, wonderful mystery that many of you seem to already understand. Well, anyway, I want to say something here that might be of interest and not get off into something on a tangent, you know. Let me just take my time and talk to you for just a few minutes and say some things as to a present day happening, things that you'd be able to grasp, because this morning we got into a few little deep things there and some of you got lost. But it's on tape where you can always go back and get it. The Bible says, the Spirit of God searcheth out the things of God, yea, the deep things. When we speak of Daniel and when we speak of Jesus, the Mount Olivet discourse, and when we think of the Lord Jesus as communicating with his disciples, then we recall the words that he said to them when they spoke of the end time, of wanting to know how it would come. And it was said, as through the scriptures, that this day shall come upon all of the earth as a snare. So shall it come upon them that dwell on the earth. But not as to children of light, for the Bible said, ye are not children of darkness, but children of light, that day should take you unaware. So then we shall know as children of light when it's nigh, even at the door. And of course, there's a lot could be said about the day and the hour when you speak of being at the door. Usually you know what day that is. And there's some things to be said as to a person knocking on your door, what day they're knocking. So, going along with the traditional ways of life, a lot of times we get all entangled like a little kitten with a ball of yarn. And we don't understand. But that's what the ministry's for. And that's what the watchmen of the walls are for. So when we think of Daniel, we realize, as I've said before, that Daniel saw the same vision that John the Revelator seen. And the same vision that John the Revelator seen has into the end of the world. It was called the reveal, the unveil, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whereas when Daniel saw it, it was the veil, because it was beyond the veil. And at that time, the veil had never been rent in twain. So it was beyond Calvary, and it was still within the veil. Well, that is to say, it was still within the intellectual mind of looking at God as spirit through allegoric approach. And Paul spoke of the Jews as in his day, saying, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. Knowing that the unveil is to the revelational coming of the Lord Jesus to change us into gods would be on this side of the veil, and the veil being rent, Paul, realizing this, having sat at the feet of Gamaliel and knew that is concerning the veil, and that made him to know when God gave him the revelation that all of those things from Calvary back was an allegoric approach as to the shadow that stood between the sunlight and the earth, as we would allegorically say. And he spoke of Abraham and spoke of Sarah and a number of others and said, these things are types and shadows. These are allegoric approaches. And they were symbolic, even as Peter, when he said, rise, slay and eat. And he realized that those things that he had been taught that was unclean was only symbolic. So we look back and we realize that the veil that was over Rebekah's face was symbolic as to the shamefacedness, and that man and woman had let death and sin in that death came by man and not by God. And so then, through the weakness of the flesh, as to say the feminine part, and not the masculine, as to the spirit, but through this, the weakness of the flesh, came sin into the world, and by sin death. So all men by one transgression of Adam are under death. And by the Lord Jesus Christ came righteousness, and the law was fulfilled, folded up, and laid away. And by him came righteousness as to grace upon all. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And so then death was swallowed up in victory. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith, as to believe unto righteousness when confession is made unto salvation by your lips, even the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. As the Bible said, and they overcame him, that is to say Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, as to the atonement for sin and the words of their testimony, as to confession unto salvation, to this Calvary. So in the day we're living in, we realize that we are not looking through the glass darkly, and the veil doth not remain over our face, yet over the people's face, as to their religious activities and their formalities. Like we received a letter in the last day or two, and this woman, she was so concerned about one of her loved ones, maybe her son. I bet he can correct me on this if I'm wrong. But she said that she had already burned candles. She'd already set up the cross before his door. And she'd done all them things that she's supposed to do because she was Catholic. Numbers of things, she said, but he's still just as bad as ever. And it didn't do no good. And she said that she would just pay so much if she could get in touch with a preacher, said she'd just give any price, I believe the terms was used, if the preacher would deliver her son. And she'd gotten a hold of our ministry and was wanting to make a contact with us. But formality is not good enough. Counting beads is not good enough. That doesn't move devils. The Bible said he sent his word, and by his word being spirit, power, and life, the gospel or the word being the power of God. See, having created the world by the word, upholding all things by the word, sending his word, which is spirit and life, to cast out the devils and to do all things. See, it takes the power of God to cast out devils. Counting beads won't cast out devils. They make a joke out of that. As a matter of fact, the devils is the one that instigated counting beads, and they'll help you do it. That's their program. Well, when it comes to these kind of things, we know that we are different because we are gods. And what makes us gods? If we are babes to the great men, as to the upper echelon and the rich and the educated, then that means that we, as to the natural and their understanding, we cannot obtain unto that. For they are our fathers, and they are our strength, and they are the ones that perfect life, as to bring us the good things of life, whether it be through the field of electronics or mechanics or whatever. See, but when it comes to the gospel, then you are so high above them. For the Bible said this knowledge is so high above the knowledge of the greatest professors in the world, as the heavens is the earth. And they cannot obtain unto this. So this makes you their masters. And this is soon to take over in all the other, as to the educational system and the sports system and the government and all that is of the world, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And the Bible said, and the lust and the pride thereof, it all passeth away. And even the people passeth away with it that's made for this era and this age and this world. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So you see that the sonship is just about at hand. And with God, there's no respect of person, Greek nor Jew, female, black nor white, yellow nor red, or whatever. All are children of light and sons of God in this gospel. And all will come together in a great, wonderful brotherhood and a great unit. And our Heavenly Father will be the master of all. Well, just speaking of a few little things tonight as to take a look. Some things that might be offensive. I trust that you won't be offended. The Bible said, blessed is he that is not offended in me, though we do, the Bible said, offend many, and we are rude in speech, yet in knowledge, we're not rude. So when I speak of these things, it's to tie in one or two little spiritual things along with some of the natural things that are in stride as today. I go back to the book of Daniel, and here Jesus is giving this concerning Daniel. For he is saying concerning Daniel, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the place that it ought not, then shall the end come. And Jesus, being in that day, being a prophet, and knowing the Old Testament teachings as to the revelational things of it, he cried and wept over Jerusalem, and he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen would her brood, but ye would not. Now then your houses are left unto you desolate until the time that ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He said, there shall come the day when they shall entrench about thee and lay thee even with the ground. And he wept. And he saw as to the abomination of desolation. For he told the Jews there when he gave his little sermonette or sermon on the mount. He said, when they spoke of the end of time, he said, when you see this abomination, that will be the end of the world. That is when they are entrenched about. And he said, at this time, when you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. And he went on ministering to them, telling them these things, that they should know when this would come. Now, we have to differentiate as between the Gentile age and the Jew age, or have to understand as to a little tutoring tonight. Paul said, I'm a preacher and a teacher. See, as to the tutoring, we have to understand that when Daniel, as I said this morning and didn't have time to explain it, perhaps you'll give me a little time tonight to do it. When it was said of Daniel, the angel came unto him and said, Daniel, since you have set your face to know and to understand what shall befall your people in the end time, I am come to give thee skill in understanding. And then as Daniel was given the skill, it was said unto Daniel, Daniel, 490 years is determined upon thy people to make a full end. And I say again, when we think about that, we can get so confused as to say 490 years. Because when I bring this to you, I always emphasize the fact that when the angel said that,
He was saying that 490 years, and Daniel, that will be the end of the world.
Not anymore, but from your day, Daniel, there won't be but 490 years, and that will be the end of the world. And I say that we get all mixed up because we look and say, well, Brother Pike, lo and behold, it's been almost 2,000 years since Calvary. And you're speaking of an angelic visitation 500 years before Calvary, according to biblical science and as to his story, as to history, or whatever in the Bible called the Silent Ages. And how can that be if there's about 2,500 years? How could it be only 490 years? Well, when we look at it, and the Lord gives us skill and understanding as for our day, we find the key to this. Jesus said one time, you've taken away the key to knowledge. And there's a key to death, there's a key to hell, there's a key to knowledge. And there's many keys. And he said, Peter, the key to the kingdom. And when we receive the key to knowledge and understanding, then we know what this means. Because he was saying, Daniel, thou hast set thy face to know what shall befall thy people in the end time. And when you say your people, Daniel, you're not speaking about the Gentiles nor the Gentile age. You're speaking about the Jews, because Daniel was a Jew. And yet there's no such thing as a natural Jew, but as among the Israelite, we're the true Jew as the spiritual Jew inwardly and the true Israel. When peace should be upon the true Israel, Paul said. Now, when I think of this, I say 490 years. God, you're telling me that 490 years from the time of Daniel, and that's the end of the world? And indeed it is, 490 years. So then when I begin to differentiate, I say, Lord, then 490 years upon the Jews. Well, then I take the 500 years of Daniel, and we broke it down in teachings, and we bring it out as to the different phases of the 490 years. And it was said unto Daniel, 483 years. And then Messiah shall come, and he shall make an end of sin and iniquity. And sure enough, when Jesus came, he'd done away with this body of iniquity. Paul said, delivering me from the body of this death, in that in iniquity did my mother conceive me. So the fallen image as to Adam and the beast, and that of the infiltration of Satan's mind. He killed the serpent and he smote it in the head. As Christ picked up the body of Jesus, which was made in the sinful image of the first man Adam as to sin, and he picked that serpent up and he hung him upon a tree. And Christ took that serpent and he brought the thorns into his brow and the nails into his hand and the nails into his feet and the stripes upon his back, and his back was plowed like a field. Jesus becoming sin, being made your sin when he knew no sin, but becoming that serpent as Moses lifted up in the wilderness, as in the end time. That everyone that looked upon this brazen serpent that was impenetrable, in that Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, he hath no part in me. Having never penetrated with all of the temptations and the oppressions, never did Jesus yield one time and give place to him. So then there's the serpent hanged up, that is to say, delivered from my offenses, because as to Adam, the head of the serpent, the first man Adam, falling from that sonship, as to the illumination of that image in which he was made, as to the Shekinah, to the low level of the dust out of which he was taken, before the great wonderful Shekinah elevation, and being nothing but a common beast. And there the beast, and Satan moving through that beast, coming into Adam, and the generation of vipers, all the way down, the generation of vipers. And when John came with the axe, he laid it to the root of the tree. He cut down that old tree of knowledge and human reasoning all the way back to the garden. And there Jesus, as to the tree of life, came into view. He that is in the midst of the paradise of God, even the Word itself, made flesh, even the great wonderful Spirit. And today, the veil rent in twain is the opening of the curtain on the last great drummer of life. And here we are beyond the veil, and the veil having been rent in twain. And that which Paul says, as seeing the revelation that God, the great Spirit, purposed in his heart before the world ever was when he chose us in Christ as the elect, according to foreknowledge, Peter tells us.
and brought to light, which means understanding at Calvary, or now eternal life is brought to light, the Bible said, that it is revealed, it has penetrated the veil, and that which was life on the other side, now that image is found as to the Shekinah covering, and now the interman is covered with the Shekinah as the interwoven, like the safeguard within the garment, and nothing can penetrate it. Born of God, you cannot see in the seed of God remaineth in you as the spirit of the fulfillment of the law. The law being folded up and laid away, and in the transgression of the law is sin, and sin is the sting of death. There is no more transgression of the law. Where there's no law, there's no transgression. There's no more sin because you cannot transgress the law, and there is now no more death because there's no more sin. So you pass from death unto life. You're the children of God. You're now born again, and you are now eternal. You have eternal life. Being eternal, you cannot die. And the fact that you have eternal life means you cannot sin, because the soul that sinneth shall surely die. And the great Holy Spirit on the inside, through that illumination that was lost through the fall of Adam, that which he was illuminated with as to the outer man, as to the garden and the beauty, which went away and left the field of briars, that will be restored in the millennium when that millennium comes, where the Bible uses the term, put on thy beautiful garments, O Zion, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee. As to this life on the inside is heavenly treasure with an earthen vessel being made manifest in your mortal genes, and that is unto the likeness. As to the change, Thessalonians change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, from mortality to immortality, to the celestial from the terrestrial, from the corruptible to the incorruptible. From mortal, we go to become immortal. Immortal. Now, the creature is to the body being delivered from these things, even the body. For it was made subject to vanity, not by you, but by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. When I think of this, then I see that iniquity was taken away. And David, again, I remind you, said, blessed is the man whose iniquities are taken away, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man unto whom God will not impute sin. And blessed is the man to whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And blessed is the man unto whom God imputeth his faith unto him for righteousness. And as I remind you again, when Paul preached, they that were foreordained unto eternal life believed, and they that were not foreordained unto eternal life did not believe. Satan, god of this world, blinding their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they might not see this great light, that this light which shines in darkness, that it could be comprehended by you, heights, depth, width, and length, but they shall not see when good comes. So then, knowing this, then we realize that before the beginning, as we said, that all of this took place as the Lamb being slain from the foundation of the world, and our names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that Jesus said, Father, as we being the members of the body, bone of bone and flesh of his flesh, restore unto us the joys of the body, the joy that I had with thee before the world ever was. As when the Lord said to Job, where was you, Job, when the morning stars sang together and the sons of God leaped for joy? See, before the foundations of the world were ever laid, where was you? See, being God's elect, according to foreknowledge, as to what he foreknew of us, saying as Jacob and Esau, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, the children not as of yet having been born, not having done any good or evil, that it might stand according to election, that of him that calleth and not of him that runneth. For the race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong, but the race is the Lord's, and the battle is the Lord's. And if the watchman riseth, and that not as unto the leadership of God, then the watchman watcheth but in vain. He keepeth not the city, neither doth he keep war away. But the Bible said, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. So, Daniel, the angel said, Messiah will come. And he come. And 483 years to that point was spent of the prophecy that came to Daniel. I kind of hurried through the first things there so I could get on my thought here and maybe have a little time to expound some things. Now, 490 years, and now 483 years is gone because Messiah came, Calvary. And then we look, and there's 7 years of that 490 years missing. There has been a dividing asunder as to a severing. and 7 years are missing. Why is 7 years missing from the 490 years? Because if the 7 years had been with the 483 years to make the 490 years, it would have been the end of the world, and there would have been no Gentile age. And this is why Peter, as a Jew, said at Calvary, "Ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come." His ministry was to the Jews, and he was telling them that this 483 years was the end of the world. And saying that Paul said things hard to be understood. "They which are unlearned," he said, "do with these things rest to their own destruction." And so then there wasn't but 7 years left. And he knew that that 7 years would be the tribulation period as to whatever God had made him to know. As to Israel being purged and going through that to learn obedience by the things that they suffered before they become the head of the nation in the millennium, as through the restoration after all this confused world of the Babel and so on is over, through all the conflicts of nationalities. So here we see, as I said, the stone of the Old Testament coming crying, "Grace, grace, grace." The capstone, the pyramid capstone. And Jesus was that capstone. And he fulfilled every jot and every tittle of the law, saying to them, "Thy kingdom come, Father, thy will be done, as in earth, as in heaven." You pray this prayer because he was with them and he was fixing to die for sin. And so then when the stone came, it was Jesus, the perfect one, unto whom the promise had been made, as to Isaac being the type, the promise being given to Abraham. And now the circumcision, not as in the flesh, but as of to the rending of the heart, and not that as of the garment. And now the veil was rent in twain. As to the intellectual mind of the covering of darkness, up to the intellectual ignorance, Paul said, "The ignorance by which you are blinded on the inside unless you're born again, in that the world is in there and you love the world and it's got to be taken out, and the kingdom of God is to be put in there." And that is since Calvary. This kingdom is here and we preach it. And men, as to the angelic intermost being, presses their way into the translated new birth of the Spirit of Christ. So here we are, they, as I said today, that dwell in heaven. Now, I don't have time to go into all those detailed things, but you know them, many of you. 483 years, and now seven is gone. So the Jews, being blinded in part, they went out. All that they could see was the part from Calvary back to Genesis, that of which Moses wrote, because it was said, as the Lord passed by Moses when he asked to see God's glory, and God put him in the cleft of the rock. Which rock? The Bible said that rock that followed them was Christ Jesus. And that cleft is that spear going into the side, bringing forth both water and blood, as to the blood in the baptism, as to the covering and the washing away of sins, as to the washing of regeneration. And there he said, "I will place my hand upon you, over you," just as you would speak of the ministry as looking at it through that. "And I will let my glory pass by, and you may see my hinder parts. But no man can see my face and live." So then when we come to Calvary, we cannot see his face as seeing face to face and live. So then we had to die through the body of Jesus as to the transgression. And today our spirit went back to God who gave it, when the spiritual world hid with Christ and God whom the heavens have received. So now we are dead as to the body, and we see God face to face. But in that day, as to the law and to the natural part, as to the beast part, which was the human being, God could only let Moses, as their leader, see the back part. And when they came to see God, they had to look through the veil that Moses put on his face, which indicated that veil that come over the face of the people through the fall of Adam and Eve, as to the veil of death, which veil was over Rebekah's face when she met Isaac, being taken into the secret chambers. That veil was taken away, and thus they became one as to wedlock, being the shame face because of their sins. Now, on the side of Calvary, and the veil being rent in twain, then I say again, when the Bible said he made in himself twain as to two, rending the veil in two, or separating the body from the spirit, saying, "This temple," and they thought he spoke of the earthly temple, "rend this veil, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. And now as to you being the body of the Lord Jesus, the veil has been rent in twain. And as to that part that was unbecoming God is smitten at Calvary, as to show the sin, the suffering, the smiting, as the Christ comes forth in a justification for you, having been delivered for our offenses as the sinful image of the beast, raised again in the beautiful body of the Son of God, of which Adam was before he lost the covering of the Shekinah as to the image in which he was made, restoring that to the inner man and coming up in a new form. Now we're no longer as to what we was, as the woman said, but we are the bodily members in particular of the great, wonderful God body, and sitting at the right hand of the Father in the heavens, and he's looking at us, as Paul said, not finding a way of performance in this body that I hate, I do. That I want to do, I cannot find a performance for. Then if it is that, then it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And said, seeing that I cannot find a performance, then Jesus Christ performed all things in my behalf, and I am God's workmanship in Christ, unto perfection, having sanctified once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus, having made perfect and perfected forever them that are sanctified, justified, sanctified, and glorified. And now God's looking at that body of your performance that pleased him that's yonder at the right hand of the Father, even as he saw that in the earth of Jesus that pleased him to the extent that he became your sin and done away with that old sinful image of the beast that had caused all the problem. And thus Paul said, I am now delivered from the body of death of what the law could not do, being weak through the sinful images of the body and it being spiritual and me being made unto sin. He said, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin in the flesh, and that body, and he smote that body and done away with it, rent the veil, and the spirit went back to God who gave it, for your life goes back to God at death. And now you reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and alive as to the resurrection, planted with him in a watery grave and resurrected with him in the newness of life. And now at the right hand of the Father, he sees you as his precious sons without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, or Jesus the headship, and you're the members of the body in particular. Now, I'm saying this right fast because you've got it on tape anyway as to where we've said it before and kind of took our time. Great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I'm a steward of the mysteries of God. So we're back to Calvin. The Jews went out in darkness, and that was out of the presence of God. So all they saw was the hinder part. But they, without us, could not be made perfect. And Daniel, you must rest in your lot, as it was said. But when that which was perfect come, it went down into the heart of the earth. It preached to the souls in prison, even within our physical being, as to this being made out of the dust. And he delivered them that was under the law. And he gave them the white garments of his own body, as the fifth seal says, in the opening of the seals. And there under the great altar of Calvary, the souls under the altar crying, how long, O God? He delivered them. He gave them white garments to put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he said to you and I, here is your garment. Put on your beautiful garments, O Zion. Put ye on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul makes it plain. Being baptized, wash away your sins in the name of the Lord, calling on his name. And so the Jewish people, they received, as those under the altar who slept in the dust, they received these garments. And they said, how long, how long? He said, a little while longer. That is to say, he was saying in this way, the tribulation yet must come. And when the days of the Gentiles are over and when the tribulation comes, then your brothers will be killed, or your brethren, in like manner as you through this tribulation period in the regime of the Antichrist, and then altogether it shall be, you know, that you will receive this wonderful reward of God. Where is not having to wait, as you and I would say, as to go through this as to a Jewish people, but as to a Jewish perspective. Even as the Jews in the grave represent them that are out yonder, even as to the covering of the Shekinah, as it was with Adam and Eve, the blood on the seat of atonement until the church comes out, and then the change as to the expulsion and the casting out of the red dragon, which is called the blood lie. The red dragon, the old passion life. And it's close at hand right now. So then we know that they went into darkness and they remain in darkness until the resurrection, even the Thessalonian chains, which is the coming in of the Jews. Now as to the tribulation period. Knowing that, then the church goes out.
But from the 483, as to the severing and dividing asunder, as to the 7 from the 490, leaving a 2,000-year gap, as to the church ages, as we would say, that is the door that is open in heaven that Peter saw when he said, "Thou art the Christ," looking beyond the body of Jesus, the rent veil, to the opening thereof. As the sixth seal says, when the heavens roll back as a scroll, and as the stars, likening this unto the Jews, when Jesus said, "No fruit from henceforth and forever, no fruit shall grow upon this tree." As to the Sanhedrin and those that history says at that very moment was counseling against him when he brought that curse upon the tree that Peter marveled at. See, and so the Jews went out of his presence as a fig tree shaking her untimely figs. As to first heaven, second heaven, third heaven, as to be able to differentiate, to know what we're speaking of, as to the certain heaven, as to where this took place. And this, in this particular sense, I don't have time to explain it, but I'm speaking, spiritually speaking, even as Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," when they thought he was cannibalistic and they left him. Take a lot of time to explain. We don't have time to do that. But if we go along from time to time, we'll explain a little bit here and there, and we have in the past, and we will in the future as the Lord permits. So following the theme of our thought here is to get on just one or two little natural things here as to a present day application. We realize that that door has been opened. And at the end of that church age, Peter having opened it, or the church ages, then it was said to John, "Come up hither." For he said, "I saw a door open in heaven." As to the translation of the church, which means the change of the body. If I took time to elaborate on it as from Calvary, there would be such tremendous things I would have to say, and so long. But during this period of time, it has been heaven. That's why this is called the New World. And that little thing is his story of the Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria. And we spoke of this as to the replica when Sister Betty and I went down into Corpus Christi, which means the corpse of Christ, as to Corpus Christi, Texas. And we spoke of a present-day revelation of something was taking place, as why we ran into this thing concerning the Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria, as to the discovery of what they call the New World, even America. But anyway, this is a heavenly thing. And this is a heavenly saying. Rejoice forevermore, ye that are in heaven. And in this, we're almost at the closing of the door. For the opening of the door of the Gentiles brought in the church ages as to the heavenly perspective. And that's why God has spared America, and when the church is taken out of America, she'll be no more than any other country, and the wrath of God will fall on America, and it's right on the verge of doing that. And from there, we want to kind of bounce over a little bit on the natural side of things to bring out just a few things, figuratively speaking, that you might understand what we're saying, because in the revelational thing here, I could go on and go on. For this morning, you was hungry, and tonight you're still hungry, and something has happened to you. Either you've repented, or you've talked to God, or something has happened that you've took a change of heart because you're beginning to draw us to the Spirit of God, and God is beginning to minister. But going to these things as to try to tie a few things together that you might understand, don't be offended. Blessed is he that is not offended in me, because I have to take many points of illustration, go down many avenues, and I have to speak of different nationality and colors, creeds, and whatever. A lot of people say, "Well, you know, I'm not one of those folks that say anything against churches and against denominations and whatever." Well, that's great. I mean, if you feel that way, that's great. That's your world. That's what you do. But I'm one of those people that are always preaching against them. And I always saying things about them, because I'm a member of the body of the Lord Jesus. And that's what Jesus said when he said, "You Pharisees and you scribes and you hypocrites, you know, and you generation of vipers, you blind fools," he said, "that strain at a net and swallow a camel. Being blind, the blind leading the blind, they all fall into the ditch of the great whore, that old intellectual mind of that harlotry thing that was with Eve in the beginning. The flesh and the ways of the world." So, when we look at this, we know that from Calvary, we see the differentiating, the opening of the door, the smiting of the stone, the refraction of the light, and the dimensional church ages, as the science in color is in light. And when I think of that, then I've got
a present day truth. Where the Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established in the present day truth. And in this present day, wonderful approaches to the revelation, even the coming of our Lord is to the revealing of our Lord and Savior. In that John said the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said the time is at hand. And as in Paul, it was at hand. Heaven came in. Paul was caught up into the third heaven. And so heaven, the door to heaven opened, and there it was. And so here in the old, in the ending of the world, as to show the Old Testament unveiled, here we are, the end of the world. And I say again, not the end of the world and everything goes boom, though it eventually will do that. The islands are being moved out of their places and whatever. But the end of the world, as to the world being within you, and as to comparatively speaking of the kingdom of God being within the saints of God. When I look at the present day things, let's start with the calendar time as to the date. We are moving toward 93. Remember the end of the world, Peter said. 93. We're moving toward 93. He said to the Jews, "Hear the people upon whom the ends of the world come. 483 years, seven more years, and that'll be the end of the world. And you won't see but seven more years. Otherwise, you'll be out of the presence of God, and God won't be looking at you anymore. The blood on the seat of atonement will atone for you, but you won't be able to see God, and God won't be able to see you because of the iniquity. And then the 7 years, and when it comes to the 483, that'll be the end of the world. And that heavenly perspective as to the door open in heaven, which belongs to the Gentiles, won't be anymore. It'll close. And you won't be looking into heaven anymore, folks." So then we know that the calendars are moving around to 93. Revelation 10. "And the angel set 1 foot upon the land and 1 foot upon the sea and lifted his hands into heaven. And he was so great and mighty as the mighty angel," which was the Lord Jesus, as the mighty angel to the Jews. Since the 7 year Jewish perspective had come back in, we have to look at it in a Jewish perspective. They did not know Jesus as the Messiah. All they ever knew him as was the mighty angel. And here he stands with 1 foot on the land, 1 foot on the sea, his hands raised to heaven, a rainbow about his head, which indicated that he feels all in all and everything belongs to him. And he swore by him that liveth forever and ever that time should be no more. And the seven thunders uttered their voices. And we spoke of that as to the translation because John did not write them. The mysteries of the Lord being finished. When we see 93 rolling around, we know, as I said this morning, that almost two millenniums have come to pass since Calvary, as to 1,000 years being a millennium, man-made application. And we see almost the end of this last century toward that second millennium since Calvary. Now, when we look at this, we are in the 19th century. That's 100 years being a century, 10 years a decade. See, and when we see this, then we realize that the end of the world is here. Because if God worked in 6 days and rested on the seventh day, and the Bible said a day is as 1,000 years with God and 1,000 years as a day, then we know that we're almost to the end of the 6 days. And we know that it is as 1,000 years with God to a day, even as it was a year to a day in the prophetical utterance of Daniel. We know that this is as with God as 1,000 years because the Lord emphatically stated, and Peter understood this when he made that statement. He emphatically stated that the day that thou eatest thereof, Adam and Eve, he shall surely die. And never has anybody ever excelled as to live more than or as much as 1,000 years. 900 years, but not 1,000 years. And there must come one day of God's rest, which is that seventh day. And it must be a complete restoration as to a man living 1,000 years before the celestial can come in to prove that God hath nothing to do with death, that death came by man and not by God, and that when man is straightened out through the millennium, then death will be gone. Of which we've said many spiritual things and could say many more spiritual things as to the wonderful mysteries of God, as to this in the end time, as to the translation of the church. the transformation of your mind, to bring about a transfiguration of your body. So we know that as to the calendars, this angel said time should be no more. With that, we can throw away our almanacs, our calendars, everything that we mark time with. And even as to the beginning of times, we brought it out on tape as to where time come from, with the little fin on the ground and the shadow moving as to the little circumference and the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 12. You know, as to watching is to severally divide time to where they would know what they were doing, how to use time and take advantage of a day, and all the other things that we use as the Big Bend of England. See, so we're moving on over now, and that great one eternal day is before the beginning. We'll come after the end. And before the beginning and after the end, we'll meet together. And all of this little thing in between is a little accordion opened up as to a time system, and a transitional stride of time will be folded up and thrown away, and eternity will join eternity. And it will be one big day, as we say, there's no yesterday and tomorrow with God. We're just here. As it was, so it is, and so it shall always be. And as it will always be, that's what it was to begin with. Now, when we think of time and time no more, then we see 93 rolling around on the calendar. Well, we know that from 93 until 2000, as to bringing the end of the 6 days of God working with man as to the creation, and all these kind of things, and really making man in the last part of the sixth day, that is to say, in the latter part of the 6,000 years, the real man, as to what was called the Son of God, Adam, is now being made by God who works through us, in that the Bible said, it is not you speaking, but God speaking from within you, and that all shall be taught of God, and that God is within his temple, and let all the world keep silent, the temple of God, whose temple ye are. And if any man denies that Christ is within his temple, as to God within the human body, then that man is Antichrist. So we know then that the time of the Antichrist is near. We know that the time of the end of time is here. As to Calvary, it was said, and in the fullness of time. Peter said, the people upon whom the ends of the world have come, and here you are in your generation as to your Calvary. And ye are the people upon whom the ends of the world have come. For in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman and made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. And here we are, folks. And time shall be no more, and time shall be no more, the songwriter said. For the angel shall stand upon the sea and the land with his hands raised to heaven, and time shall be no more. So then we see time ebbing away. We see time dissipating. We see people that belong to time, and that there's a time to be born and a time to die, as Solomon said. We see them now fading into the background. As I brought out the little fable, mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? When it said, Snow White, for though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them white as snow. And who hath bewitched you, Paul said, as to the old bewitching spirit of that of the world, that dazzles with the beauty of that of cosmetics and the glitter and glamour of mankind. See, and now Snow White, as we say, is coming in, and Prince Charming's on the way. And as those little seven dwarfs, as a little fable thing that God put in the heart of a little child to where they could get some inclination of that which was to come as to the church ages. That then made the fuss over Snow White. As to minister to the bride. So then we realize with this that the church is becoming more beautiful and the world is becoming a confused Babylon and a place of iniquity and fear and terror and faded in the background. It's not beautiful anymore. It's a horror. But the church is coming out more beautiful with the protection of God in her beautiful garments. And as I said, Prince Charming is on his way. So, we know that time will be no more. 93, there is from 93 to the turning of the end of the century to bring in the millennium, there is 7 years. And we know there has to be 7 years of tribulation. As it was said in Daniel, I remind you one more time, it was said, cut the tree down, let seven times pass over it, and then it will grow again, as to bring in the tribulation into the Jews. And many things that could be said about that, as to the beast and the claws, the long hair. We know that with the 93, it doesn't leave but 7 years. And though the Bible said no one would know the day nor the hour, yet we were to know when it was nigh at hand, to know when it's nigh even at the door, but not the world. As a snare shall it come upon all them that go on the earth. So then we know there's but 7 years, and we know there has to be 7 years of tribulation. And we know that Antichrist was to change the times and the season. And so then when Julius Caesar and the different ones come in, they have changed it. And there's all kind of calendars. There's a Jewish calendar. And there's the Roman Catholic calendar. All kind of calendars. And they have brought in leap year and all these kind of things. And they set it off date just enough to confound people to where the people that are looking for God could not keep up with it. Even as the Jews did not recognize the coming of the Lord Jesus because of the shifting. But still at the same time it worked favorable to God that no man should know the day nor the hour. Not because God would not like for us to know the day nor the hour. I've expressed this before. He would like for us to know. But He knows that if we know, then we're going to tell our brother, and we're going to tell our sister, and we're going to tell our mother. We're going to sound the alarm and everybody's going to get real religious and get ready to meet God. And He doesn't want that. He wants them that are just to be just still, as it was said in the end time. And them that are righteous to be righteous still. And them that are wicked to be wicked still. He wants to catch them just as what they really are, that nobody can tell anybody. And if a man has it within him and a woman has it within them to be holy and godly and righteous, having the Holy Spirit in that the Bible said, without holiness no man should see the Lord. Having the spirit of holiness and your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof. Eternal life, He wants to catch you just that way. And if not, as to the spirit of Satan and the love of the world in you, in that Satan saves the things that be of the flesh. So we know there's only 7 years. And with that 7 years, there has to be the tribulation period. Of many things we would say, whereas the Bible said, that we should pray always that we may be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. Whereas they'll gnaw their tongues for pain and their kingdom will be filled with darkness as to the Antichrist. Scorched with the heat, the stars fall from heaven. The waters become bitter and be turned into blood. Locusts released from the bottomless pit. I wish we had time to go into it and show you just how far along we really are. But picking up a few things. When Mr. Bush came to office, it had to do with the casting out of the dragon, the old legend of George and the dragon. And sure enough, we spoke of communism going out, and Mr. Bush overcome communism. We said when we went to Russia, we'd pray and the Iron Curtain would be broken down and the walls of Germany would come down. And so they came down, and sure enough, communism went out. And the powers of communism was overthrown in its stronghold, which was Russia. And now it is a divided country of little providences. I had an invitation to go over there to what they call the Georgia Providence in the last little bit. So when we see this, we see the man with the mark on his head as the Gorbachev. And we see Jimmy Carter invites him over to our country. And he comes over to our country in that as to a touring within the old thing as to the tree of knowledge, going back to the educational system of the world, which has caused all of people's problems from the beginning of time, by which Antichrist rules. And the natural body of the world rules with their corruption as to all being vanity. Solomon said all vanity and all will pass away because it's only an emanation as to a reflection of the real world. And so is the people that are in that vanity world. So, looking at it from this perspective, seeing the man with the mark on his head come all the way over here, it caused quite a stir in the time of the diplomacy of the children, the graduation. And when we realize that Jimmy Carter is an ex-president that has come to a place to where he has gathered together all of the ex-presidents so that he could have the control, knowing that everyone would eventually come out of office and that he would be the controlling factor of it. He has sought not only to bring the boycott as to that of the control of the leaders of the United States as to the governing powers, which is called the presidency, but to reach out into the foreign parts of the world and get their leaders and bring them also into this little boycotting thing. As to his name being Jimmy Carter, referred to as JC, Jesus Christ, when the beard was painted on during the advertising of the campaign, and the vision that we saw of him as to what it had to do with, and even as we met him on the plane when we spoke to him there. See, he comes from the plains of Dura. We spoke of this, the plains of Dura, where the image of Daniel was, as to the measurements of that which was put up there in the days of Nebuchadnezzar, even Babylon, as 666. And having been in Babylon on the other side of the ocean, just before that thing happened, as to Hussein and that aggression against Israel, when Betty and I were over there doing the Desert Storm. See, in this, Jimmy was there at Babylon when they were pitching their party. And it was in Israel that they crowned him at the college. And he's running a great place in this end time. And here he is now with the man with the mark, bringing in, as it would be, the 666. And it was said that when the dragon was cast out, as to the overthrow by Mr. Bush, as to the heavenly perspective, as to the child caught up to the throne, ruling with the rod of iron, as many things we could say about Mr. Reagan and Mr. Bush as a connection, some of these things on tape. But especially with the film that was made as to Moses, and when they brought that staff that was in the picture of Moses to the movie star, Mr. Reagan. And as that was passed on, as we say, as to the office when Mr. Reagan said Mr. Bush can have it. And as to Israel in the burning bush, and how he stood for Israel, and many things we'd have to say to be able to bring out about Joseph and Benjamin, as I said this morning. And I just say these things as little connectors, that when you listen to this tape back again and again, that the Lord may quicken to you and you take a branch and an avenue to where you can listen and go out in the Spirit and come back and still have that tape stop right where it was when you heard that. Of course, you can't do that in me preaching here. I have to keep on moving on. It goes on film, goes in the books, goes around the different parts of the world. So we know then that it was said that the dragon would be angry. I made the statement that the asylum would be in China. And Mr. Bush made it very obvious as to the overthrowing of the dragon when he put his foot on China and would not let China do anything because of their evil aggression of running over a human being and mashing their entrails out. And so evil and wretched that in shooting their children of mothers in their own country, sent and told them they'd have to pay for the bullet that killed their son. Not speaking against the Chinese people. We've given out many pieces of literature in communist China and also in communist Russia and great mighty people. Whereas in France, Germany, wherever it might be, among the white, the black, the red, the yellow, great mighty people. But speaking of the system in Satan and the symbolics of God. So then with China, we see the asylum and those people that were driven out of Russia went into China. Now the old dragon nation is ready to move, whereas it has been always that you should never wake the sleeping giant. And now China is ready to move, and the Euphrates River, and this that we prophesied of, or spoke of rather, predicted, would be open to make way for the kings of the east to go in against Jerusalem, to bring about the abomination that Daniel spoke of as to the compassing about of the armies, when they would be laid even with the ground. All of a sudden now they have control of that, and they're cutting that water off and on as they please, as to be dry shod. And you have to remember that that was one of the rivers that flowed out of the garden. And to explain the hidden garden and why the rivers are still around would take a little time. So we know that that thing is at hand. And I can't go into this, but I'm just going to just skip over it, just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 like that, right quick. Maybe sometime we'll get to minister on it. We've touched just on it a little bit. But when you go back and look at your English people, as to having to do with the White Horse Rider, as coming right here to America, and that with the bow as was that rider, as to a bow of religion, as to I set my bow in the clouds, and us coming into this country as to beginning with the Indians as to the bow and the arrow. And then the second horse rider as to the red man when it left the white man. And then the third horse rider was when the black people were introduced from Africa, brought over on the ship as to the Dutch ship or whatever it was, and brought into America. And then as from that, the pale horse rider as to the intermingle and the interwoven of the people, not as the white man called the pale man, but rather as to the Chinese and the Japanese, we say it's yellow, but you know it's a pale appearance. And as to that death thing that's coming, and even as we'd have to say much about Japan and China, and as to the aggression of death, because the fourth horse rider, it was said that death and hell followed it, and it's very evident that as to the transgression, as to the abomination of desolation, when all these armies will gather together around Jerusalem, death will follow. And with that, as they attack Jerusalem, hell will come. So we could go on speaking of those seals, but just lightly touching that to bring about a thought here, that when the armies come past Jerusalem, now as long as America's here, it is considered Joseph, and as long as Israel is there, it's considered Benjamin, because it's two religious bodies that God acknowledges. The others, in their ritualistic practices of counting beads and burning candles and all of their denominational doings of today in the charismatic order of life, is what we call the ten half-brothers that was lost in the Assyrian thing. And as to the other that went down into Babylon. And as to Joseph, when he went down in Egypt and in rule, as America is a derivative from the civilization, as to the civilization from Egypt, the old Egyptian way of life. Now, when we remember this, Mr. Bush stood for Israel. Mr. Reagan stood for Israel. Our presidents have stood for Israel. For the Bible said, they that pray for the prosperity and the protection of Israel shall prosper. For they are the apple of God's eye. And they stood for Israel, which is the cornerstone of the earth, and which will be the head of the nations, in spite of all the racial conflict, all of the national conflict. Not any nation will win. Israel will rise up and devastate all till the blood runs to the horse's bridle and take over the entire world, even as a little nation. Just like the Six-Day War. And they'll judge the nations for the way that the people have treated them. Not as to a nation judging some nation for the way they've treated them, but rather Israel as to the God that was crucified and mistreated. So then we realize he's going to put them through the fire of the 7 years of tribulation, which looks like it's moving close to us now. Before he will put them at the head of the nations, he will learn them obedience by the things they suffer and subject them and take away that hypocritical thing of their religious activities that is an abomination in his sight, where he said is more holy than me, killing my wise men and killing my prophets and everything that come unto you. And we do see Israel coming back into the picture again and again. So getting on with our little thought here, we know that if we come to 93, in the middle of 93, it's the middle of the week. Should it have to do with the tribulation period? As to what day, whatever the time, we know that it's moving toward that. And we know that at the end of that, that is to the coming of the 1,000 years millennium. That is to calendar date, that God isn't going to wait another 1,000 years before he has this thing over. That day of rest has got to come in. The others followed in sequence, and this one will follow in sequence. So then we know that it's right there laying on us now. And in the middle of the week, gross darkness covers the people. And this is why I said what I did about the black man is taking the law over. You may not realize that, but the black man is taking the law over. He's actually taking it over. From the time of Martin Luther saying that they should put on black policemen and black people in different places, it has been this move. And it was said that gross darkness shall cover the people in the end time. Not as to the black being darkness, but in that colors represent certain things for certain ages. Even as we said this morning, sin getting its strength by the law. And even with that, as when Thomas went in as the supreme judge, Mr. Bush did that as a cunning thing. And he felt like with the favoritism he had of the people and what he was doing, and then the dragon going out, symbolically speaking, See, it brought in the earthly perspective to bring the Jews back in, as to them being God's clock in the night, and the intellectual mind of darkness and ritualistic. See, and he thought that if he had control of a Supreme Court as with his friend, then he'd rule everything. He could really come down on the nations and bring this thing into one great unification. Whereas we've made the statement that with the Watergate situation, that it would be a kingship start moving in as to a monarch. And sure enough, they discovered the man's name was King, and he boasted that nobody put him in office. And then with this, Jimmy Carter and others begin to ask for more time as to the legislative side of the governmental act of a president, and they would not give them more time. But now it's moved around. And as I said, concerning the Federalists and concerning the Democrats and concerning the Republican, all of a sudden it was narrowed down as to no more Federalists, and then as to the Democrat falling into the background, and we won't go back into the balance of the things that we said this morning, then coming to the Republican as to Democrats running on a Republican ticket. And then it comes to the eradication where there has to come in an independency, even as this man that's running right now out of Texas. We spoke of that this morning, of the solitary star between the chains from the lesser light of the night till that of the morning. We don't have time to get into that tonight. But anyway, Perot, or whatever his name is, and that of $3 billion, to eradicate the last of this as to the Trinity, as to Federalists, as to Democrat, and concerning Republican. See, and then the capstoning as to the independency, which means the money man, and that as to France, even as to the name, the great whore, as to the Catholic powers coming in. Now, I made the statement this morning, he said that he'd get rid of the adulterers and he wouldn't have them in his operation. I made the statement that's impossible. The Bible said this is an adulterous generation, that all he could do was join the adulterers as to the time of the wrath of God coming. If he got rid of the adulterers, he wouldn't have no operation. The man's very religious. I made the statement, he's not concerned about God, though he act very religious. The man's not concerned about God. When that man comes in, or as to an independency that comes in, and he seems to be in line for it right now, then that means that is the end of America as to the church ages, and as to the days of the Gentiles, and we'll be making way for the Antichrist. Because with the end of the Federalists and the Republic and the Democrat, there is no more liberty and justice for all. As to say, our government, that's the end of our government. And then it will be his government. And what he's going to do is rule as with a rod of iron, as to his own thing and through the power of money. As to billions of dollars, had he had God, he would not have billions of dollars. He would give it to the poor and to the needy. And if the man had been concerned about the people, as to say, I'm going to buy the government and give it back to the people, he would have helped to pay the national indebtedness off with billions of dollars, or at least used it as to some in his lifetime. So it isn't the way he said it at all. So we see everything coming in to line. And with Thomas being the supreme judge, as to this man, all this man's got to do now is coming in, it will bring in a woman. A woman will have to come into the picture. And when she comes in, it will indicate that as to the deception where the beast deceived Eve, that goes back to Thomas and back to the marriage and what was done by wish as a cunning thing. And with that gross darkness covering the people. And with that Antichrist moving in for right now as to the 19 nations that's boycotted together, they're coming in strength into power in 93. Which means that the shipping of commodities from the foreign fields coming in to here as to import, it will all stop on that side of the ocean to cut down expense. And when they set up that common market of Europe over there, everyone will take their goodies to that place and make the more money, because that place will spring up as to what Revelation speaks of, where her desolation is coming 1 hour, as to all of the dainties, as to the linen, as to the souls of men, as to slaves, as to whatever it is, horses and chariots, and that great empire springing up, which the papacy will be at the head of because of the money powers that he's confiscated and that it's been taken away from America. And money is government. And without money, there's no government. Money answers to all things. You can have your little legislative acts that don't mean nothing. You're just playing a game. And so then through the industries or the means of industries and the foreign people sending their imports in here, now we are a slave to tribute to the extent as a nation. And now our people are losing their jobs as to the automobiles and whatever, and our automobiles being inferior to theirs, and our products being inferior to theirs, even as from Japan in our electronic world. All of our proceeds are going there because we have to buy parts from there, and our money is going there. And now we don't even have a real gold standard anymore, though we think we do. But it's only a federal note. It's no better than the paper that it's written on. And with that, the government has shifted, and it is shifting. And the government is slipping out from under the people, and we've gone sports crazy over here. I made the statement that all of a sudden this thing would go into a sports, even the sports that was able to penetrate the Iron Curtain, go over there, even during the time of communistic practices. And people have gone sports crazy, which is one of the meanest, low-down, evil, corrupt things in the world today that's contrary to God and is a pit of mire. Everybody condones it. So now that means that the world is going charismatic in their religion, which means they don't know nothing about God and don't live holy, but they're trying to say that God loves them in spite of all that they do in their messy, evil ways. And it's an abomination in the sight of God, and God is ready to smite the whole thing. And the Bible said when Lot went out of Sodom and Gomorrah, immediately the fire and brimstone came down, and the writer refers back to it in the New Testament as being a symbolic thing of the church being caught out. The light of the world, I said that the medical world reflecting your understanding hath healing medicines, the mercies of God. But when the church goes out, they won't even be able to make or perfect the bottle of healing medicine. And the Bible said in that day, the people will pray for death, and death will not even be a shield to them. They'll gnaw their tongues for pain, and their kingdom will be filled with darkness. So then we understand that all of these things grouping up together, here's the 19 nations as to the Confederation. And here is Germany as to that has been referred to as the beast down through the years, even Hitler. And the regime of Hitler. And there's France has been referred to down through the years as being a harlot nation. It shows the great whore. And she's joined Germany, and Germany is the major strength. And it was the German that persecuted the Jew in the beginning and brought about the Holocaust. And now we see the beast carrying the great whore. So we know then that the mark of the beast has to come in. And out of all of the nations, though, Japan is the one that's head and shoulders above everybody in the money end of it, as to their dollar value, yet the boycotting did not choose Japan, but rather Germany, and said that the mark was the one that was of the greatest value as to their operation and holding its stabilization. So now we're moving into where you can't buy or sell. If the economy drops here and goes back to Germany, our commodities have to be sent there to that great common market. And with that, you have to have the world money, which means you don't buy or sell without the German mark, which is their money. And that means that you have to take the mark. And when you go to take the mark, it will eventually come around to a number, because the man that will be at the head of that, in that Germany is a Catholic stronghold, it will be the papacy. Whereas the Bible speaks in the book of Revelation, and his number shall be 666. And upon his head is the vicarious filia dei, which is according to numerical evaluation. It says 666, where it says instead of God, or instead of Christ. And we could go on with many, many things of the beast, the casting out of the dragon, as the coming up out of the waters, as to the 10 horns and whatever. But I'm just going to say a few little things that tie together that it might be in your minds as to a sequence. So what does it mean? It means the abomination is getting closer. Closer. Because if those nations take the lead, and America does not have the lead anymore, and you know I said it would fall behind in here not too long ago, it was said that America fell behind for the first time. The other nations came out front. Now, if that's true, then that means that there will be no feeling for Israel. Those nations hate Israel, as do those 10 brethren. There will be no feeling for Israel. And there'll be no America to her voice to stop the aggression. And they'll keep probing at Israel, as even killing that little Jewish girl. See, until they stir Israel up and stir Israel up. And then the boycott is to this great army of the Confederation will come together against Israel to fulfill the prophecy of Daniel as to the abomination of desolation, as to the cities being compassed about with armies. That on that side, as to drying up the Euphrates and all of those things going. And my, I wish we could say something about the bottomless pit and the locusts. But nevertheless, all moving into that, nobody will be able to stop them because they won't have any feeling. And then at that time, remember, I tell you again, that the church isn't going to be here doing those things. We wait to see these things. I tell you about these things. And we say, well, when those things come, we'll see the abomination and desolation. We'll know it's time to go. I'm telling you, Jesus was speaking to the Jews. And with the church goes out. It has to do with the first of the week, even as John at the end of the church ages, when the door was recognized as being open in heaven, which has been here all the time as to the Christian people, but just bringing the Jew into the perspective as to saying, here's the nail prints and where did you get them? Bringing the 7 years back to bring the end of the world. So, we understand that the way everything is moving now, that this great economy coming up over there in that side of the world, that all of the shipmasters of the world are going to take their goods and commodities into this place. And this is why the Bible said, and her desolation is come in 1 hour. They have a bum now that is a 1 hour devastation. And the Bible said, and the great shipmasters stood afar off and cast dust upon their head and said, alas, alas, this great city, even Babylon, this great city hath fallen. And her desolation is come in 1 hour. And of course, they're restoring Babylon. That's your saying. That's the thing that's coming up. And so then, it was the stronghold of Satan then. It'll be the stronghold again. And the aggression against Israel is to take over Israel. And many things we've said about that and could say. So then, with the coming of this, the armies compassing Jerusalem, the church will have gone. As Revelation 8, the blood coming off the Seat of Atonement, the opening of that seventh seal. See, and then the devastation of the earth, fire mingled with blood, hail. So the shipmasters will say, my prosperity is gone, my opportunity is gone, the place of my great commodities is gone, that great city that have made all of the merchants of the earth rich by her delicacies. Her desolation has come in 1 hour. And a voice cried out from heaven, rejoice, ye saints of God, for God hath revenged you upon her. Ye that are in heaven, rejoice. So then, those ships that were bringing the commodities here will have brought it there. And when they see the hope of their gain gone, they will weep and they will mourn. And folks, we're right there now as to this great turn of event. Everything is rolling around. For as with the woman coming in, it brings in gross darkness and it brings in the covering of night and it brings in death. It brings in the 10 virgins as to 5 being foolish and 5 being wise as some having light. And some not having light, even as we made mention of this morning and have at times before. That the devastation is upon you, as now the woman is to the book of Revelation, being caught up into the heavens, having her feet on the moon and the crown of 12 stars upon her head, as to the apostolic teachings of the 12 tribes, as to spiritual Israel and natural Israel. And as to having the moon, as to the law of the lesser light, as to the reflector under her feet, as to the law and the prophets, and being arrayed as to her beautiful garment, and the light of thy glory has arisen upon thee, as being caught up into the second heaven and seen there, as John saw this great thing, and with that red dragon as that blood life laying in there as the church of today in this realm, as we have said concerning the thunders and Satan laying in there as the red dragon, that blood life to devour that child, saying, in the church's ball games, positions, being some kind of a celebrity, devouring the child intellectually as soon as it's born through that old blood life of that intellectual science, falsely so-called, that tree of knowledge. See, but when the blood comes off the seat of atonement, that means that the blood life cannot be in the presence of God anymore. There won't be any second heaven, for the heavens shall pass away. And with that, Satan won't be in the presence of God anymore, because there won't be any grace. And the people that are now, who are not born of God, filled with the devil, and having this grace upon them as the rain upon the tares, well as the wheat, all of a sudden there won't be any more rain upon the tares. And the light of God is to them reflecting the glory of this wonderful light of that day star will be taken away as the nova of science, as to that light sevenfold through the church ages and then being gone. See, and with that, it'll be dark, total darkness, and it'll be torture and torment, and Satan will then be out in the darkness because he is the ruler of the intellectual knowledge of this world. And he'll have constraint as to control of his people. And the children of light as to the temples and vessels will be gone. And it will be made known then as to the heavenly. And then the Jews will come in for the 7 years as to being sealed. And it's passing on through there as that dragon goes to make war with that woman as to the remnant of her seed. And what we'd have to say as to what parts these things are as to the surrounding of Jerusalem and the fleeing into the mountains, the Judean hills. See, and the dragon making war with a woman when the Bible said a place is prepared for her for a time's time and a half a time. And we brought out a little on this from time to time and would like to bring out more, but we can't tonight because we're looking for a place to close right now. So we know that the end of the world is here. The woman on the moon, the footprints have been emphasized as the dust of the moon to show that she's standing upon the moon as to the woman world, which is America. And though thou climbest up to heaven, from thence I shall cast thee down to hell. And though thou makest thy nest among the stars, it was said, and this little nest that they call the eagle's nest that went up there among the stars, from thence I shall cast thee out. And God did, as he brought it down into the ocean, whereas the ocean is symbolic of the bottomless pit. And the Bible said in that day there won't be any ocean. It was cast into the ocean. See, and at the same time the child was caught up, that brought in this thing of Reagan, of Carter, Mr. Bush, and the three that we have spoken of. And sure enough, communism went out. The four winds of capitalism, of communism, of Christianism, and of Catholicism. As for the four corners, the east, the north, the west, and the south, and those angels standing on the corners of the earth with their doctrine of indoctrination, as it was with Daniel wrestling over the waters as to the winds of doctrine, trying to get control of the people. But Christ is going to surprise them all. So then we see that everything is just right. The scene is set just right for the sealing of the 144,000 and the winds to be turned loose, as with the opening of the seventh seal and the eighth chapter, where the censer was filled with the wrath of God and into the earth it came. Everything is set just right. And on we could go as to the gap, as to the door, shutting in heaven, and the seven taken from the 490, coming back to the 483 to make the 490. To bring in the last 7 years as to the end of the world, and the world as to your people, Daniel, and them coming back into the presence of God to know the last seven as to finish the 190 as to join themselves to the 483, to close the rent veil as to the opening of the door in heaven, and to bring it back to its originality. Let's stand together. We could go on and on saying things, but you've been a good audience. I'm just trying to take my time and say a few little things to you tonight. Might encourage you to be also ready for an hour that you think not. Jesus said, the Son of Man coming. And the Bible said, pray always that you might be accounted worthy to escape those things that's coming on the earth. As far as the world's concerned, the Bible said, in the latter times they'll say, where's the promise of his coming? All things remain the same as when our fathers fell asleep. And they'll tell you right now that very thing. They'll say, well, where is this coming of the Lord Jesus? Everything is the same. Yet the Bible said, in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the time that Noah entered into the ark. The door was shut, the flood came upon all of them, they knew not, until it had taken them away. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All flesh is corrupted its way before God.
And that day he alone shall be exalted. The world may not know what we're talking about. They may not know what you understand. But there's one thing about it. There's a responsibility to us that do understand some of these things. For the righteous shall understand, the wicked shall not understand. For the wicked shall not see when good cometh. For Satan, Lucifer, the god of this world, having blinded their eyes of understanding, they cannot see when good cometh. But as to them that sat in the regions of the shadow of darkness, this great light is spring up. And ye being children of light, you do comprehend this light, this height, this depth, this width. Darkness cannot comprehend light. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me? Sweep over my soul. Precious Savior, sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete. While I sit at your feet, oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Now sing this with me. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I say evermore. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior, and oh, how I need thee. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away, for he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to the Savior and hear his loving voice, and don't turn him away. I always sing another little chorus or two. The altars are open. And you're welcome to come. Come to renew your vows. Come to get a new start. Or if you've never known the Lord, Paul said, I am persuaded to believe that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against the great day. And now would be a good time for you to make a commitment if you've never made a commitment to the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and they are saved. Paul, go down to the street called Straight.
the scales fell from his eyes. The revelation of that great light that he saw revealed itself to him, realizing that was the Christ. Even as the vision that we want to make mention of, maybe we will later. Go to the street called Straight, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, calling upon the name of the Lord, and wash away your sins by the washing of the waters of regeneration, as we say. Let's sing this little chorus together.
He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here. The time, and so he touched me and all joy is that flood my soul, or something has happened. And now I know that Jesus touched me and he lived. He holds.
Let's sing this little chorus, brother.
Gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated, gone. And he lives forevermore.
Sing that with me.
Oh, he's gone. I saw the stone, it's rolled back. Gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone.
Some of you have seen it.
My Father's mine. For he's gone, over death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated, gone. He's alive forevermore. And I think you for the valleys I walk through today. The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found you as the lilies there blooming by the way. Though I thank you for the valleys walk today. Thank you for every lifeline, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank you for the valleys I walk through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need your prayer. And I thank you for the valleys I walk today. Can you sing that with me? Thank you for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank you for every lonely night I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank you for the valleys today. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be singing? Will you be happy while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it swiftly passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing while the ages roll throughout eternity? I ask this question, where will Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. The Bible teaches that we should meditate in the laws of God day and night. Always thinking about the Lord Jesus, always doing something for the Lord Jesus, always being about our Father's business, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ every thought. You are God's children. You are the apple of God's eye. You are His very precious darling ones. And He protects you and watches over you. And He leads you by His wonderful, watchful eye. And He helps you all the way. Let's sing this chorus together as we lift our hands up. When I stand upon the mountain, looking o'er into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. So after all, life is over and my burdens have been lifted, and I stand upon the mountain also tall, looking o'er into the city. Lord, said He's preparing, gives me grace that I can make it after all. Across the bridge, There's no more sorrow. Sing that with me. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. In this life we're living in, I have lived the life of sin, and I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior along the way. I asked Him for a place to stay where there's true happiness, a life that's true. Across the bridge, said there's no more sorrow. And across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. One more time. He said, across the bridge, you'll find no more sorrow. And across that bridge, you'll find no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine across the river. There you'll never be unhappy again. We won't need no gold and silver, and we won't need no diamond ring, for we'll have the love of Jesus. We won't need the world's pretty thing. So I don't want all gold and silver, and I don't hold no world of fame. All I want is the love of Jesus for the maze everything. So you can have all the gold and silver. Can you give Him a wave offering? And you can have all the pretty things. All I want is more of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His name. So I don't need no gold and silver, and I don't need no worldly fame, but I do need more of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, praise His name. And time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Now, remember ye other people upon whom the ends of the world have come. He'll stand on the sea and the land, and time time shall be no more. So we will praise Him. Mine will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And I'll give Him glory. Oh, He oh, His blood has washed the weary stain. One more time again. So we can you lift your hands? Close your eyes. I'm going to ask Brother Roger Dukes if he'll come and dismiss us. And as Brother Roger comes, if Roger's here tonight, let's praise the Lord and let's give glory to Him tonight. Never will forget, Brother Roger said he had a vision over in Arkansas, and it showed that he was to come to Little Bethlehem. And he's been with us and one of our most valuable workers ever since. For His blood that's washed the way. Just one more time together. While your hands are lifted up and your eyes are closed, the Bible said, examine yourself, see if you're in the faith.